Hey, it's Outkick the Coverage here, Fox Sports Radio. Jonas Knox, LeVar Arrington, and Brady Quinn. Coming up on the show, a champion has been crowned. The Milwaukee Bucks win it all, but it's not all too good for that fan base because you still got the Aaron Rodgers drama. Did he take a shot at the Packer organization by celebrating the Milwaukee Bucks? We're going to take a look at what this does to Giannis and CP3's reputations moving forward. We've also got a player making a ton of money without actually ever starting a game. Dabo Swinney is unhappy and we disagree. And Stephen Jones with some interesting comments about the contract of Dak Prescott. All of that coming up next here for you. It's Outkick the Coverage, Fox Sports Radio.
Outkick the Coverage live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the Coverage at foxsportsradio.com. Or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
I'm sitting side by side with LeVar Arrington, but we do have a homecoming of sorts because the one and only Brady Quinn is in South Bend. I mean, there's got to be a line out the door of the studio, people wanting to get a glimpse of what it's like to see Brady Quinn, current name, image, and likeness now as he comes back to cash some checks that he was owed from years and years ago.
Yeah, not necessarily doing that. I would say this, though. Some miracles have already taken place on campus. Had some technological issues a little bit last night. Went to the grotto, lit a candle, said a prayer. Came back, and it just so happened that we were able to connect this thing and make it work. So there's already been some miracles happening here on campus today.
I mean, and plus Pat Connaughton. I mean, you know, with the performance he put on last night, he's now a world champion. The Milwaukee Bucks have done it in six games. They take care of business last night. I mean, everyone wants to talk about Giannis. Pat Connaughton,
LeVar,
I mean, what a performance.
We got to give someone credit, okay? Because someone called this way back when maybe there were some doubters out there. Someone called this, and I just want to say, Charles Barkley, back during the Eastern Conference Finals when it looked bleak for Milwaukee, he called this the whole time. He was steadfast in saying the Bucks would eventually win the NBA Finals. They did. Giannis is the MVP. it's why Chuck's one of the best in the business, LeVar. I don't know what I can say.
Hey, Brady, tell Chuck we said what's up. He's sitting there right now. Can he jump on the mic and say what's up on the show?
He's not here. I'm just trying to give him credit.
This is unbelievable. Brady, you know what this is the equivalent to? Imagine if, like, you know, LeVar needed a hookup at Notre Dame and he went through Golden Tate, not you. This is disrespectful. I called my shot.
Gold's got some connections.
Listen, I called my
shot.
He'll
get you some donuts, too.
He will get you some donuts, probably won't draft.
I know LeVar knows the reference.
He probably won't draft Russell Wilson on his fantasy team, though. I will say this. Listen, it felt like Phoenix had, and I don't know if peaked is the right word, but it did feel like they sort of ran out of gas, man. Like they'd given them their best. They had won those first two games, and once everyone realized Giannis was actually 100% coming off that knee injury, it was a wrap.
Yeah.
It was over, man.
It seemed as though I said this yesterday on the show. It just seemed as though Milwaukee took Phoenix's best punch, so to speak. And figured it out. You know, they adjusted. We have not seen, you know, we saw the Clippers actually do a lot of adjusting. Tyronn Lue built a reputation of being able to do in-series adjusting. This was a series where you saw after two games, the Milwaukee Bucks did some serious adjusting, creating different matchup scenarios, but also the fact that Chris Middleton, a lot of people said the offense had to go through Chris Middleton for this Milwaukee Bucks team to have the opportunity to win. That became apparent, but then this last few games, it really turned into a Giannis show, and Giannis just took control. And if he's playing at that level, this was a better team, a more balanced team overall, in my opinion, than the Phoenix Suns. You get Giannis playing like that, Brady. I mean, it's going to be hard for any team to really beat them unless they have matchup issues of their own. And we didn't see that play out enough outside of Devin Booker. We didn't see that for the Phoenix Suns.
I've got two images in my head right now. One is his knee and the way it looked, thinking like it's over for him. He's not going to be able to play the rest of the series. and then him holding the MVP and the championship trophy. Like, I just keep going back to the way his knee looked and the way he then played the rest of the way. It was unbelievable. Like, it really was unbelievable.
Yeah.
But I do think he did one thing last night after the game. He's become a fan favorite. Like, he's become one of my favorite people, my fan favorite, the way he handles everything. But he also now has a gigantic target on his back, a big bullseye, because of him essentially saying that, hey, I didn't need to go to a super team. Like, I didn't need to do it that way. I didn't know he was going to have that in him, where he was going to come out and make comments like that. But everyone else out there who's sitting there looking across at another superstar or another future Hall of Famer – I think he kind of called him out. Like, I think he called him out. 2022 is going to get interesting. Or I should say 2021, 2022 will get interesting when this thing starts back up again.
Well, we did, and you mentioned Giannis, and he didn't, you know, talk about super teams and all that. He also, after the game, was asked about the Phoenix Suns, and here was the Greek Freak.
You smell that? Smells like someone dying.
I mean, that is just ridiculous. Brady, can you believe he goes there? I mean, of all the times, you know, that's an organization. They thought they were going to win too. Man. Does he have to go there, Brady? This is ridiculous. He's got to take a shot like that at the Phoenix Sun organization.
I think the only thing it died was probably the Suns in four guy, you know? And that fan base there in Phoenix compared to what we saw in Milwaukee. Just two completely different styles.
The Suns needed a Doc Holliday. I'll be your Huckleberry. They did not have a Huckleberry.
Yeah, 65,000 people outside that arena last night.
Oh, that's crazy.
I mean, it was
Dr. Fauci crapped his pants.
Oh, yeah. That was not.
Y'all didn't see COVID body surfing, people surfing?
It was, but congratulations to the Bucks. There were a lot of people. And this is going to be looked at as, I would say, if Phoenix had won this, it would be looked at as more of a flawed championship than Milwaukee. You can say what you want about Brooklyn, of course, was banged up and all that stuff.
I do think that needs to be stated, though.
Yeah, there is, and the injuries were a story. But when Brady points out, look, man, the way his knee looked,
re-injured.
I want to know, what did they do to get him back? I would love to talk to the doctor.
But then he re-injured it.
Yes.
He didn't just injure it one time. He re-injured it. And still found a way to get to as close to 100% as he could.
What did they do? Best guess. All right. You guys have spent time in a training room. Okay. I'm not asking Tordal because I don't believe it was Tordal. What are we talking about here? How does he come back and look as good as he was?
Yeah, right. I don't have an answer for that one other than genetics. I'd have to say, some way, somehow, he's still at an age where maybe he, you know, he's got a high enough pain threshold and tolerance, but his body started to mend a little quicker with whatever it is, the hyperbaric chamber, maybe some acupuncture, whatever it may have been.
It reminded me of McGahee. It reminded me of McGahee's knee. I swear to God.
Well, that's a different level. I mean, you can't recover from that one.
Can we get some game show music? Maybe some game show music where I can just ask you. I've got some options. I'm just curious.
Yeah.
All right. It's got to be special.
Can we get some game show music as to why Giannis's knee was able to last?
Okay. Very good. This is where we're gonna get into some trouble here. All right. Do we want to get into some game show music?
It's an angel. It is an angel.
LeVar's guardian angel.
Tortle Angel.
Okay. Send me Tortle.
All right. I think the first option that you throw out there is what LeVar said. He's young. He's capable. He's still got the pliability. I think it's what Tom Brady and his trainer, who has a lot to say lately, said. We'll get into that later. But pliability and then his age, that's option number one. You can throw in yoga with that if you will. I'm not gonna go to Tortle. But I'm going to say there's some topical cream, okay? Number two is a topical cream of sorts that maybe they bring in Mr. Miyagi, someone who works his hands on them, able to bring that thing back to life, all right? A topical cream combined with Mr. Miyagi
Deshaun Watson,
as number two.
He identified the best of the business, he sent one. Too soon?
Talk about bringing some stuff to life.
I mean, I'm just saying. You know, he knows who's the best out there. I mean,
we'll have to remake that crowd again.
A lot of job interviews there.
One of the 60. Very good.
Okay, number three. It's really his diet. It's an assortment of Greek food. Obviously, he's the Greek freak.
Greek fruit.
But maybe it's that Mediterranean Greek diet that he's on. A lot of lamb.
A lot of yogurt.
A lot of rice.
The Euro carts. Like those Euro carts in Manhattan. You guys know those.
Yes.
Yeah, those
street
meat. It's street meat. Let me tell you, you never had a Euro in Manhattan late at night, man? Bombed? Who hasn't? Yeah. I mean, some places do hot dogs, some places do street meat. That's what they do in Manhattan, right?
Okay, that's option number three. The last and final one, okay? The last and final one is... It really didn't have anything to do with his knee whatsoever. All right. He was all doing it for the theatrics. The NBA came to him. They're like, we need to make it look like this is worse than it is. But we need some sort of drama in this series. Your knee is going to have to be it at some point. So whenever you go down, make it look worse than it is. Help us for the ratings. Help us for what we're doing. Okay.
That's so good.
All right. So you got to sell it a la WWE style. So the knee wasn't exactly. Okay. That's
exactly.
Good.
It was never even that injured in the first place. It was just more the soccer style. There's a lot of soccer influence from where he's from. Right, he grew up playing soccer or football in some parts of the world, excuse me. But it wasn't even a big deal in the first place, but the NBA needed him to make it a big deal.
Clearly, you guys did not see the Black Panther, the movie. That is made about the true real life's Giannis, you know, I mean,
that's a superhero.
They put him under the dirt. Yeah, they put him under the dirt. He visited his ancestors. They said, "You will be healed when you come back." He came back, and then they took him from the dirt, and they rose. You know, King, you know. Yeah,
Giannis. Yeah. Listen, here's I think what ended up happening.
Wakanda forever.
I don't have confirmation on this, but I did hear a report that there was right after the injury, there was a knock on the door. They opened it, and it was Bob Baffert with an elephant needle saying, "Hey, man, you want to know how I get my horses ready to go? Let me see that bad boy." Next thing you know, he goes out there and wins an MVP. 40, scored 50 last night. Thank God. And by the way, credit to him, man. All that noise, that trash they talk about his free throw shooting, and he was balls out last night on the free throw line.
He only missed like one or two.
Yeah, he missed
balls
two free
out,
throws
man.
The entire.
Is that a phrase?
Yeah, I mean,
you know, listen, it's
I mean, balls out.
Yeah, you know, just,
I love our balls.
Yeah, just let it all hang. Like, hey, this is what I got. I'm not scared of your chance, your crowd noise, all the other stuff that goes along with it. He came
balls
out there
though.
Big time.
You are funny, Brady.
Game on the line.
Funny.
Just saying, man. Like this
oh
figure
gosh.
Speech.
He did
right?
say it though.
Yeah, balls out.
I've never heard that.
Never heard that before.
I certainly did not want a literal or figurative meaning to this statement that you just
okay,
made.
Okay, well, this plays
I'm
into
just being
all right, well, this plays into perfectly.
Don't want the
right.
mental version of it.
This,
you know,
okay,
he had all his Super Bowl wins on his balls.
Yeah, this is all right. See, so there, like, there's all
Tom
sorts
Brady.
Of. Yeah, listen, yeah, that's
Tom
what
Brady
you
had his balls out at the match too.
All right,
you know?
So here it does
with his Super Bowl wins.
It does bring up a fair question though, because something happened last night, and I do think it's impactful for the remainder of his career. We're going to get into that. It's Outkick the Coverage here, Fox Sports Radio. Jonas Knox, Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington. That's yours next here on FSR.
This is Outkick the Coverage.
It's Outkick the Coverage here, Fox Sports Radio. He's LeVar Arrington. That guy's Brady Quinn. I'm Jonas Knox here on FSR. We are celebrating the Milwaukee Bucks. They are NBA champions. And what a performance for Notre Dame's own Pat Connaughton. I mean, just an unbelievable. He is a world champion. And some would say without him last night, there's no way Milwaukee wins that game and takes home an NBA championship. The stat line on Pat Connaughton.
Yeah, stop. Why are you trying to throw dirt at him, man? He's an NBA champ.
He's an
NBA champ. I know
exactly.
You're jealous. He's an NBA champ.
Exactly. I'm trying to point out. You know,
PJ Tucker didn't score either. But he pitched in some rebounds and an assist.
That's right.
That is
eight,
true.
Eight rebounds in a closeout game in the NBA Finals. That's damn impressive. I mean, I'm not even going to focus on the 0 points. I don't want to bring up that he didn't score any points last night and he missed those two free throws as poorly as he did towards the end of the game. I'm here to celebrate Notre Dame.
You're awful.
I'm here to celebrate Notre Dame. I don't understand. You're there
you know,
South Bend.
LeVar, I want you to. I lit a candle for you at the grotto.
Thank you.
Jonas, I didn't do crap for you.
Thank
okay,
you.
Man?
You,
don't, you got nothing. No, right? Nothing here in South.
I appreciate it. That is very rude and very mean of you. By the way, coming up here in about 10 minutes from now on FSR, we were wondering, all right, so who's gonna hit it rich, right? Who's going to go big when this new development happened in the world of football? And somebody already has. We'll get into that 10 minutes from now on FSR. So you mentioned Brady to start out the show, Giannis Antetokounmpo, with a little bit of, I don't know if trash talk would be the right word, but he talked afterwards about the potential of being on a super team and why he wanted to stay in Milwaukee and get it done there.
Coming back, I was like, this is my city. You know, they trust me. They believe in me. They believe in us. Even when we were lost, the city still was like on our side. And, you know, obviously I wanted to get the job done. You know, but that's my stubborn side. Like, it's easy to go somewhere and go and win a championship with somebody else. It's easy. I could go, I don't want to put anybody in the spot, but I could go to a super team and, you know, just do my part and win a championship, still won. But this is the hard way to do it, and this is the way I chose to do it. And we did it. We did it, man.
All right, so if he never plays another game again, first ballot Hall of Famer, right? It's done.
I don't know.
I mean, two-time MVP. Two-time MVP, finals MVP, world champion. It's over.
It's hard to argue.
Well, in NBA standards, right? That's what gets you in.
Yeah, what did Ben Wallace average? 3 points a game? He got in. I mean, what do we, you know?
Well, and Chris Paul is viewed as a first ballot Hall of Famer, and has he ever been MVP?
By the way, we do it. No, Chris Paul's never been MVP. No, there was a big push for that this year.
He's got two.
Year.
I mean, you get two MVPs. You got to assume you're first ballot.
Yeah.
And by the way, that's before, I believe, Michael did. Before LeBron.
Yeah.
Before Shaq.
Yeah.
Like, you look at what he's accomplished so far. Is he still under 26 or is he 26?
I think he's 26.
That's impressive, though, man. I mean, you think about the company that puts him in.
Yeah, he and look, to his point on the, you know, I wanted to stay and win it here. We can say, well, a championship is a championship. Nah, but if you win it with the team that you started with, it's a much different story. Like LeVar, if you would have transferred back in the day from Penn State to somewhere else to win a national championship, it wouldn't have felt the same. Okay, well, I'm saying if it was at Penn State, it would have felt different than if you had transferred somewhere for a year and you guys got out. If you went to an Alabama,
I mean, they
and
got robbed once anyway.
Well, yes.
I wasn't there for that. I'm younger than that, even though I'm old. But I'll say this. I would not. Ring chasing is an art form, for one, and two, loyalty is fleeting. And I think that, for what it's worth, I mean, you look at free agency and what it's created. You look at transfer portal and what it's created. It's just one of those things where you're chasing opportunity. And for me, I agree with you, Jonas. I agree. When I chose the school, I chose my school my junior year. I got a tattoo the summer of my junior year going into my senior season of the Nittany Lion on my arm. I took no official visits, nothing. Like, when I committed, I was committed. I said I was going to Penn State. So
Pitt and Duquesne weren't even in the conversation at all.
Well, Pitt was in the conversation. Pitt, Miami, and Florida State.
Ooh.
But Florida State didn't recruit me as hard, and they had took some really good linebackers and DNs that year. And then as far as Pitt was concerned, I just had a couple question marks that didn't get kind of answered leading into it. And then Walt Harris takes over right before my senior year of high school. And I even looked at it like, man, Walt Harris is a good coach. Seems like he's all right. But I had already made my commitment. So to your point, when I made my commitment to Penn State, I started recruiting. I was recruiting. And it's funny because – a lot of times the best guys on the job to get other talent to go, whether I learned this about the pros as well, are the players. They are the best recruiters. If Brady Quinn is like, dude, like, let's do this, like, let's go. I'm like, man, I got to think about
that. Well, Petros
case in point yesterday. Yeah, I mean, yeah. You're too stiff. Don't come here.
Right, yeah. There you go. They're the best recruiters. So I started trying to put together our man, our recruiting class was like top five. You know what I mean? Like for like 2-3 years straight, it was like top five. I mean,
you get a tattoo, bro. You're pretty committed.
In. I mean, you're in.
Now wait,
I named my daughter Penn. Like, I'm in on Penn State,
all
man.
All right.
I'm in.
Yeah, there's not much more to say after that.
It's like case closed.
So, you mean Walt Harris with the Pittsburgh Panthers?
Mm-hmm.
He had a little bit of a lisp.
Yeah.
If you didn't. I remember when I first visited Pitt and met Walt, and he was talking. I was like, huh. I was like, he must have had some dental work done.
He's so funny.
And I was like,
you're so funny.
I was like, odd time to have dental work done when you're having, like, all these unofficial visits for all these families of people coming. I was like,
he had a retainer in.
I swear to you, I did not realize the guy had a lisp until I was there. And then I was like, man, he probably just talks like that, huh?
I mean,
like,
that's unbelievable. Brady Quinn would have been the next Dan Marino.
No, it sounds terrible.
With the guy at a lisp. Unbelievable.
I literally was thinking to myself, and by the way, they had just opened up where the Pittsburgh Steelers played, like that new indoor, their new facilities. They all shared all that. So it was kind of neat, you know, and they're obviously playing at Heinz Field, which was cool. But I remember thinking to myself, like, man, he has good of a quarterback coach. I was like, I'm not going to
get the plays in my ear, coach.
But then I'm like,
coach, I can't understand.
Are they going to really be fired up, like, playing for the guys? I mean, what kind of pep talk's that going to sound like? So, anyway, that was my Walt Harris.
Coach, I don't understand the play you're saying. Get somebody else in my ear.
Yeah, you gotta be careful about any plays with an S in it. That's just the whole play call's chopped up.
West, lightning, west, east, south.
Just read the wristband, all right? Just read the wristband, whatever it says on play number 45 on the wristband.
Here's the other thing, and Brady, you were in South Florida when this happened. When LeBron went to the Heat and they won that title, I think people respect that the Miami Heat won a championship. They respect Chris Bosh. They respect LeBron James. But Dwayne Wade lands different, right? Because he was a Miami Heat.
It lands different, man.
There's something to it.
Wade County, man.
It's not that you diminish it. Like, you're always going to be a champion. Kevin Durant's always going to be a champion. But it's just different than if he would have stayed in Oklahoma.
It was
the
Steph Curry's
too. Yeah. Was he won it before LeBron got there? Like, people forget, he won it before he got there. And so that was different. And then when LeBron got there, it was also like this, he was showing him how to win.
Mm.
Like, that's almost like, and I'm not saying that Giannis is taking a shot at LeBron, but I think it's like a ricochet, right? like the shot was fired, it hit off the wall, and it might have traveled towards LeBron's direction because that's what he's done in his career. Like, when you look at what he did, whether it's going down to Miami, learning how to do it with D-Wade, Chris Bosh, Pat Riley giving him the formula, he takes that back to Cleveland. They assemble that group with Kyrie, Kevin Love, and their crew. They win one there, and then he goes out to L.A. And in L.A., he's got AD. It didn't work. It wasn't great when he first got there, but obviously they're trying to construct this team out around him now to be able to win one outside of the one that they won during the bubble, which Jonas still doesn't think is legitimate. I'm going to give them that.
Because it's fun to say it's not legitimate. What do you want from me?
No.
You want everything on the up and up on this show? Come on, man.
That's what brings you to this question. Is the narrative about this championship going to be more mirrored in, well, Phoenix didn't play anyone to get there. There was all these injuries. And so it was almost like the Bucks were the default. Or are people going to look at this team and say, no, the Bucks were the best team. They survived. They were the best. Giannis was the best in the end. And they're the best. Because I do think there's going to be some people who want to play out that narrative about this NBA season and the way this playoffs went with all the injuries to a lot of stars.
And the short offseason.
Yeah. No, there's that. But you could go back to the first Warriors title. Man, you remember Cleveland was banged up. Kevin Love was banged up. Kyrie Irving hurt his knee in that series. So, like, you could go back through time. I just think the team that is left standing at the end of this whole thing, especially when you're grinding and playing these seven-game series, like, there's got to be something to that. Injuries are a part of it. Look, I don't dismiss Toronto's championship over the Warriors with Kevin Durant's injuries and all that stuff. It's not them that were going out trying to injure players. Those guys got hurt, and they were the last team left standing. And ability or availability is the best ability, as they say. So those guys were there, and credit to them.
You know,
and then there's the last narrative, the last one that's out there.
Which is what?
What's the official's name? Scott Foster?
Oh, yeah, come on.
I mean,
yeah, come on now.
Is that a coincidence? I mean, you guys tell me. What's going on if you were 0-4 in your career when Scott Foster officiates a game, a playoff game in particular. Like, how can you be 0-for in your career in, what, 13 games now?
I mean, look, I understand it, but I didn't come away
do
from
you?
That. Okay, I didn't.
Explain it.
Okay, explain it.
Let's hear this.
No, what I'm saying is I understand that there is this push to, oh, well, you know, Scott Foster's there and Chris Paul can't catch a break and he's 0 for 12 or 13 in his last games with Scott Foster. I get all that, and yes, it does look a little odd. I didn't come away from that game last night going, man, Phoenix really got screwed. They got beat.
That's interesting because you've been complaining about the officiating for the majority
of
the series.
Yeah, but I pick and choose when I want to complain about stuff. That's the way this thing works, man. Like, this is the beauty of sports radio.
The biggest thing for me coming out of this is, and just listening to the conversation, is we're talking about super teams and different things like that. But imagine this. Winning for a market like Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, you think about it. Like, we're talking about Wade and LeBron. That's Miami. It's one of those cool markets to go in. Now, you look at Cleveland. That's the equivalent of what took place last night.
Yeah.
Right?
Agreed.
Like, LeBron bringing a championship home makes him immortal in Cleveland.
Yes.
Because that's not, you know, he single-handedly boosted the economy
One is looked at differently than the Miami titles.
It has
for
to
sure.
be looked at differently. And so to me, I always think to myself, all right, what the question I was coming up with was, would you rather be a superstar guy or whatever that goes to a super team in L.A. or Brooklyn or, you know, Miami?
Yeah.
Right? And win a championship, or be a guy that is able to win in a place like Milwaukee. Like, which one would you rather have? Because you win in New York, that's like, you know, it's like a great market. It's an amazing ride after you get that championship. I mean, they wouldn't know in basketball, but, you know, not
wow.
in recent years at least.
Wow.
Not in recent
Look
years.
Look at that.
But you get what I'm saying. Like, for Giannis to win this the way that he did, where he won it, versus LeBron winning it or AD winning it in L.A., like, I'm asked myself, which one would hit me differently? Like, because maybe it doesn't mean as much in terms of how you feel about it in a smaller market. You know,
I think my answer to that would be, if I was 25, I would want to win it in the place that I was trying to be as loyal to as possible.
That's fair.
At 35, I just want to win it wherever I can. Like, I don't care where it is. It could be Istanbul. All right, give me a title. Like, at some point, you have to realize
your time is running out.
Yeah, yeah, your time's running out. You see your own mortality, maybe a couple of injuries. You're later in your career, and you just want to be an NBA champion, which is why I think that's why some people maybe had a gripe against Kevin Durant. Not that I didn't. Look, I get it. He wanted to go win a title. He was tired of hearing it. He didn't know if he could trust Russell Westbrook in Oklahoma City and the way that team was built. But I think if it was later in Kevin Durant's career, it would have been looked at differently than in his prime, leaving a team who lost after having a 3-1 series lead.
So would it have
been
better for KD's win in Golden State, or better if he had been able to get it with Russ and Harden and
Oklahoma City?
Right. Oh,
yeah,
that would have been better.
Yeah, the narrative would have been different.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still a championship, but
the good thing is too, it's not like another player in another sport from another small market chimed in last night, you know, to give us maybe a little extra fuel in the fire as we get closer to training camp.
That's a very good point. Way to set it up. That is a very good point. Somebody has weighed in. Very curious comments from that certain somebody on this NBA championship.
Look at
you
guys.
We are going to get to that here coming up. I want to let you know coming up next. Somebody has chimed in, and it is a certain somebody who has a vested interest as to what happened last night, and it's got an NFL connection. We'll get into that next. For all the latest, though, from around the world of sports, it's Eddie Garcia.
Thanks, Jonas. And, of course, we start off with Game 6 of the NBA Finals, and they're still celebrating in Wisconsin.
Booker, who takes a three. No good. Tucker with the rebound. The Suns are not going to foul. It's been a 50-year journey. Wisconsin, we've got a room at the top of the world tonight. The Milwaukee Bucks are NBA champions.
Final call from the Bucks Radio Network. Milwaukee led by Giannis Antetokounmpo, who had 50 points. He was 17 of 19 from the free throw line, 14 rebounds, 5 blocks. He was obviously the MVP of the finals, 105-98. Milwaukee with the win. Remember, they were down 0-2 in the series. They went 4 straight for the second NBA title in franchise history and their first, as you heard, since 1971. A couple of baseball games of note. A thriller in L.A. where the Dodgers get a Will Smith 3-run pinch-hit walk-off homer to beat the Giants 8-6. L.A. now a game back of San Francisco in the NL West race. Red Sox and Blue Jays were rained out while the Rays beat the Orioles 9-3, so Tampa Bay gains ground on Boston in the AL East. They're a game back. It was the Reds beating the Mets 4-3, Yankees over the Phillies 6-4, so New York still has a 2.5 game lead on Philadelphia for first in the NL East. Believe it or not, the Summer Olympics are underway in Tokyo. Some of the team competitions have gotten underway. And just final a few moments ago, the U.S. women's soccer team saw its 44-match unbeaten streak come to an end. They were stomped by Sweden in group play 3-0, or 3-0, I guess I should say. Back to Jonas Knox, Brady Quinn, and LeVar Arrington in the Outkick the Coverage studios.
Wow, how about that?
Wow, is Sweden that good in women's soccer?
They dominated that game.
Yeah, I mean...
I know that game. I'm just asking, like, are they good in general?
Eddie, where does Sweden rank in your women's soccer
my big
power
board?
Rankings?
Yeah. I put him number 2. Solid number 2.
No, because okay, here's what I'm saying is, if you were talking women's gymnastics, I can definitively tell you our USA gymnastics, women's gymnastics team is so much better than the competition. It's not even close. Obviously, everyone knows Simone, but the rest of the girls, too, were like... China and Russia are second, third, however you want to place them. China's probably second best. But literally, there's no competition.
How the hell would you know? Women's
So I'm saying, like, with women's soccer, I had the idea in my head that, like,
really
our
good,
women's
though.
Team was that much better than everyone else.
Yeah, that is what they're saying.
I was investing in Brady right there.
The U.S. women's soccer team is clearly the gold medal favorite. So this is it's a sizable upset.
Well, listen, shout out to everybody like myself who had Sweden plus 2.5 in that game. Just want to.
Why would you bet against the U.S.?
I mean, listen, money's green, man. All right, that's all I care about. Listen,
that's the only flag you care about.
You got to pay the bills from time to time. I don't know what to tell you.
Green wolf as well.
There's no. We don't need to make weed jokes here on the air. By the way, Brady, I don't know if you saw this or LeVar. Roberto has tweeted out his chicken parm recipe. So if you want to go check out at Raider_Rob24 chicken parm recipe.
Talk about free money. Roberto, what went into that thought process?
Cooking with Roberto, man, every Wednesday, man.
On the Ben Maller Show.
Yeah, you got to keep that. You got to hold that hostage, man. Charge people like $1 a month.
I was just
going to
say,
like,
man, charge them like a subscription or something.
Yeah, that's what I think.
You're right.
All right, it is. It is Outkick the Coverage here on Fox Sports Radio. All right, so coming up next, somebody has chimed in. The Bucks are the NBA champions, and right when you think all is well in the state of Wisconsin, this happens. We'll get into that next year. It's Outkick the Coverage, Fox Sports Radio. Oof.
This is Outkick the Coverage.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And I just want to say, Charles Barkley, back during the Eastern Conference Finals when it looked bleak for Milwaukee, he called this the whole time. He was steadfast in saying the Bucks would eventually win the NBA Finals. They did. Giannis is the MVP.
It's just no respect on this show.
What
no
do you
damn
mean?
Respect.
We can't respect Charles?
Yeah, but you had
Sir
somebody,
Charles?
You had direct contact with somebody who was calling their shot on this, and you want to give credit to Charles.
You called
Barkley?
It back like game 4. You're like, whoever wins this is going to win. He said back in the Eastern Conference Finals, he said the Bucks are going to win it. He called his shot.
He's Brady Quinn.
He put the bat up in the air. He pointed out in the stands. He called his shot.
Yeah, I got the mighty Casey.
Yeah, I got your bat right here. He's Brady Quinn. I'm Jonas Knox. That's like LeVar Arrington.
What
it's,
up?
It's Outkick the Coverage here, Fox Sports Radio. I'm going to borrow your chapstick, sir. All right, so coming up in a little over 10 minutes from now on FSR. apparently, you can get paid and make a ton of money, and you don't even have to actually start a game yet. Apparently, that is the running narrative here in the world of football. So we will get into that here coming up a little over 10 minutes from now on FSR. Aaron Rodgers sent out a tweet. In regards to – now, I think – is he an investor in the Bucks? He's like part owner or something. I know he has some sort of financial connection to Milwaukee.
He's a minority owner.
All right. Very good. He sent this out on Twitter. He said, quote, incredible job by Wes and Mark. Peter, John Hurst, our GM, made some incredible moves, and our stars played like stars.
Shots fired.
Can't stop 34. Hashtag champs.
First comment. Now, we just had an off-air conversation about – people on Twitter. Like, I appreciate all the love you guys give me when you say get rid of LeVar. I mean, it is what it is, right? First comment on this thread. Do you want a championship or do you want to settle for a playoff team going nowhere because your GM drafted a QB who couldn't hold your jock and your ego is bruised? Like, he got exactly what he was looking for,
right? Of course.
He got exactly what he was looking for.
Okay, so I'm just going to ask the question to the quarterback.
No, here's the thing with Twitter, all right? I never understand why people put weight into comments made by people or critiques made by people when you'd never asked for their advice in the first place.
Right. Indeed.
Right.
It really matters.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Listen, the worst one is, I am going to find something to do with my time during this hour.
Yeah, I know.
I will not listen to you.
it's the best.
Oh, okay, sorry, buddy.
Listen, it is the best. So let's ask the quarterback in the room.
I'm interested for this one.
Brady Quinn. When you see that tweet from Aaron Rodgers.
Well, he said Mark. You meant Mark Murphy in that one, right?
I'm assuming not. But when you see him point out all the moves they made and all the people in the front office that he wanted to thank.
And you've never heard any of this credit given to Green Bay, right?
Never once. What do we do with that quarterback? How do we feel about that?
The interesting thing is the timing. So think about the report by Adam Schefter yesterday.
Yes.
That Aaron Rodgers turned down an additional 2-year contract extension to make him the highest paid player in the NFL.
Yeah.
So think about the timing of that. And think to yourself, why and who would release that information?
Yeah.
Well, obviously it's Aaron.
Yes.
If you're the team,
totally
why
agree.
Would you want that to be out there?
I totally
because
agree.
You, what, made your best effort? No, Aaron wants to make sure the narrative is the one that he can control. And that is one that it's not about the money. It's not about anything other than the fact that it's about Mark Murphy
and
how he's managed and basically acted as owner of this team.
He wants to get rid of him.
Like, he's doing everything he can.
If it's not about the money, right? See, if it's not about the money, this is some verbal Kent, you know, Kaiser Sose type stuff going on right now here, by the way. He puts it out there in a way, in a forum, in the most euphoric moment for Milwaukee sports fans to consume it and be like, yeah, Aaron Rodgers brought us a Super Bowl. He's the man. He's giving all this credit to Milwaukee. Oh, wait. He's taking shots.
Yeah.
He's taking – this is clearly him. He has waged a personal war to get whoever it is in Green Bay's front office out of there or I'm leaving. Like, that's – I wish he'd just come out and just say it because at this point he's kind of Teflon, right?
Yeah.
Just say it.
I don't know if he – first of all, I don't think he – and I've never met the guy, but I know, Brady, you know him a little bit. I don't think he's – the vindictive type to where he's going to say it's me or him and go public with it. I don't think that's
in his
nature.
But that's what he's doing.
But I don't think he wants to go public and just say, all right, if you want me back, get rid of Mark Murphy.
Yeah, he won't outwardly say it.
He should have someone else say it.
Yes. Can we say it? He's having everybody else say everything else for him.
Why not just have somebody say it?
But here's the interesting thing about this is when all this started about, and I started talking to some people who might have known some things. One of the things that got brought to light was Mark Murphy. Because what you see in the NFL is a lot more exposure of the owners and how they run their organization. Well, the Packers are different because of their structure, right? It's a bunch of shareholders.
Right.
And they have a board, and then they don't have an owner, but Mark Murphy acts as the owner.
Mm-hmm.
And so the frustration, I think, from Aaron's side of this whole thing was – is after Ted Thompson left and Brian Gutekunst took over, but even maybe before that, like Mark Murphy started to take a more active role and approach to things, And I think it bothered Aaron. And I think he may feel like they're further away from getting a championship, or in his mind, giving him the best chance to win a championship, which, because he's made a ton of money at this point in time in his career. And so it's not so much about necessarily making the most money. It's about giving him the best chance to win a championship.
So why dance around
it? I think he's trying to put a magnifying glass on the job that Mark Murphy's done. And people may be questioning the fact that it's not like any other position that, you know, that acts as owner. Like, Mark Murphy's acting as owner for the Green Bay Packers, but he could be removed.
Right.
You know, outside of doing something ludicrous
who
as an owner.
Them? Do we know who removes
you can't
them?
Remove them.
Yeah.
Do we know who removes
the board. The board, I believe, would be able to move them.
So do we?
But I don't know that process
would
exactly.
Would you assume that maybe Aaron Rodgers is having conversations with them behind closed doors?
Oh, dude, this is like what do they call it? Like a hostile takeover in like a company, in like a public company where
right.
you're talking to other people, trying to buy as much stock or equity as you can, and you're trying to get control of the board so you can then make some changes. Like, there's no doubt in my mind. They're not apples to apples comparisons here. I think that kind of stuff is going on right now. What's the show called? Secession? Is that the one with the
yeah.
family?
Yeah.
It kind of reminds me of that, where like there's power struggle behind the scenes. I kind of feel like that's what's going on right now, and that's where Aaron's, in a very coordinated way, you get the release of information about him turning down the contract because it's not about the money, and then you see a public comment about the management of the Bucks, and it's all tied together in a very passive-aggressive way.
Man, things got a little clearer for me today. Thanks, Brady.
Yeah, listen.
I'm sitting here thinking about this like, whoa. This is pretty deep.
Yeah.
He's doing. Like, if you're looking at what Aaron Rodgers is doing, just listening to that, that's a deep rabbit hole.
He's a deep dude now. I'll tell you that much.
Wow.
He is a very reflective, deep person when you talk to him and have conversations about how he thinks and how he sees things.
It's Outkick the Coverage here on Fox Sports Radio. Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, Jonas Knox here on FSR. And coming up next, if you've never played or started a college football game before, don't worry. You could be a millionaire, and we've got the proof. It's next here for you right here. Outkick the Coverage, Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.